Good morning.
That's a little bit better.
So who all here went to Synergy? Okay, who all has been paying attention to what we've been studying for the last, 2 months, Pastor D? At least 2 months? What has that been? Anybody refresh my memory?
Jesus.
Something else is in there. What else have we been studying? What's the big thing? What's the surveys you've taken? Spiritual gifts. Okay, we've talked about spiritual gifts in the past. Okay, what is all that we've learned about spiritual gifts? We went up to Synergy, and I got up there on Sunday, and I was listening to Pastor Janet speaking about authority. Okay, what does all this mean? What does it mean to you? Life changes and growth? Okay. So, what I've learned, what have you learned about yourself? Now that you have, and how are you going to incorporate this into your life? That's the question. How are you going to incorporate it into your life? That's probably one of the most hardest things there is to do, is incorporate something new into your life. How many here have busy schedules? Somebody calls up and they say, can you? And you're thinking, how can I put just that much more on my plate? Right? So we kind of have to make choices. You know, change in choices. Have you ever had difficulty trying to change a habit? Human beings are creatures of habit. We tend to continue acting as acted in the past. Like a river flowing through a canyon, the longer the habit continues, the more deeply it becomes ingrained, and it's harder to change. This is true with all habits, good and bad. In other words, if you want to create a new habit into your life, sometimes we have to decide. Is there something that, it's just like when you decide to clean out your closet, which I've been doing, which I had to finally do. And I'm looking at clothes and saying, this is still good, but I haven't worn it in 3 years. And I've noticed as I've been going through my wardrobe, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this. And then I started thinking, why do I still have it? Because I haven't cleaned out my closet. No, because I keep thinking, I'm going to use that. Someday I'll wear that to church. Sunday comes, no way am I going to wear that to church. Then I run into a church, a shirt or something that somebody's given me, and I'm going, oh my God, they do not know what I like, do they? And I still got it. I've had it for 10 years, but I've never worn it because I just think it's, you know, no, I just won't wear that. I don't look good in that. I'm not going to wear that, but I still have it. And that's why I decided, you know, I don't need this in my life. I don't need it in my closet. I've got it. I can see the shelf on my closet now. I've got 4 bags of clothes sitting out in the living room, and I still haven't done the other closet. So it's about changes in our life. What are we going to add to them? When I think about changes in the Bible, I think about Paul. And so I decided I'm going to do some research on Paul. Paul came from the tribe of Benjamin, a pure, unmixed Jewish blood. Paul the Apostle... Now, this is something I didn't know. Paul the Apostle was born about the same time as Jesus. How many of you here knew that? I did not know that. And so when I think about that, when I more thought about that, it was interesting. His Hebrew name was Saul. His education and career, perhaps the most natural career for youth to follow, was that of a merchant. But it was his decide that he should go to college and become a rabbi. That is a minister, a teacher, and a lawyer all rolled into one, according to Jewish custom. However, he learned a trade before entering the more difficult preparation, a profession. The trade he was a tent maker. His primary education had been completed. Saul was sent and went about 13 years of age, probably. A great Jewish school, sacred learning at Jerusalem. As a student of the law, he became a pupil of a celebrated rabbi, Gamaliel. And here he spent many years in elaborate studies of the scriptures and the many questions concerning them, which the rabbi exercised themselves. During these years of diligent study, he lived in a good conscience, unstained by the voices of the great city. In other words, the city that was around him. Very secluded. After that period of his student life, he probably left Jerusalem for Taurus, which he engaged in a connection with some synagogues for some years, but to find him back again at Jerusalem. Very soon after the death of our Lord, here he now learned the particulars regarding the crucifixion and the rise of the new sect of Nazarenes. So basically, when we read that about Paul, that's his life. That's what he was taught. What can we assume about this also about Jesus? Royal blood. Jesus knew the laws. Jesus considered rabbi, considered teacher. So Jesus went through all the same things. Isn't it interesting how they come up with different conclusions between Paul and Jesus? So think about it. The time that Jesus was doing his walk for his 3 years, Paul was still in school learning about the Jewish religion, all the laws. Okay, so what happens to Saul? Right, the Saul conversion. If we go to Acts, pull up my other scripture. That's all right. You don't need it. Let's go to Acts 9:1-6. Did you get it in there? So, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to a high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether man or woman, he might take them prisoner to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed down around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Okay, here's Saul. He's what? 30s? In his 30s now. He's learned all the stuff about what he's supposed to do. Now he's got to change. Here's the change. Do you think he had a difficult time accepting that change? It's just like, what do we do in our lives? We do the same thing for years and years and years and years just to find out now we got to change. It's like cleaning out my closet, you know. Now I got to change. I'm going to change my wardrobe. I'm just tired of it. How many people get to that point? But they change their wardrobe by just going out and adding more stuff to the closet to the point where they can't close the damn closet.
Amen.
Right? How many times do we do that to our lives? So we've been learning all kinds of things for the last couple of weeks. Old practices and attitudes. And that what we always have is an old practice and our attitude towards the practices. So, how can we replace them with new ones? How can you replace your attitude? What do you want to give up? Go ahead.
Ask God.
Yep. One of the things in this message I've done is I've directed most of this to us or you. So you're going to hear me use the word you a lot. So don't get offended, and if you are, I'm doing the right thing. Okay, so what do you want to give up and what should you give up? Do you ever ask yourself that? Do you ever go through, I go through my checking account monthly and I look at automatic charges on there, things that I have going on. And I keep thinking, I ought to get rid of this, I ought to get rid of that. I'm trying to justify why I'm paying for this, I'm trying to justify why I'm paying for that. But I don't take them out for just in case. That just in case moment. How many times do we keep something in our life just in case I need that? Just like I was going through my closet and I've stopped doing that. Just in case I'll get small enough to fit in those pants again. Nope, that's not going to happen. I'm over it. It's genetically not going to happen. I will never have a 32-inch waist again, and I give up. You know, but I still got 32s sitting in my closet. But I started thinking about it. I looked at the family tree. Nope, nobody at the age 50 and over has a 32-inch waist.
Over 15?
50.
Oh. Wait,
yeah.
I
said nobody in our family over 50.
Oh.
You're still ahead of me.
No, I'm not.
Your don't let her kid you. But that's what I mean. You get to the point where you realize, yeah, I'd love to get back into those pants. It'd be great. But am I willing to work hard enough to get back into those pants? Guess what? My hip bones are too big now. It just doesn't matter. It's not going to work. So you got to choose what you're going to keep in your life. And believe me, if you got clothes in there that don't fit, don't keep thinking, someday I'm going to get back into those. Holly. It's not happening, is it? Okay, sometimes it's a choice of something better in your life to do and to add something to your life. It's about how healthy choices in your life. Think about the healthy choices you have in your life and how you can move forward. Just because you're going to remove something from your life doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's probably that pair of pants that you can't fit in anymore that you're removing. You're never going to use it. Just like I put on a shirt, couldn't button it. Decided, well, I'm probably not going to get back into that one either. We also need to know how to make changes. Changes do not come easily, and adding something is not always easy. So, what do we need to change? Question. Attitude. What else do we need to change? One word.
Faith.
Faith. Okay. How about motivation? Nobody changes unless they're motivated. I don't care what it is. You're not going to change unless you're motivated. I mean, before people are willing to act, they must be motivated. A sound sleeper is more likely to get up in the middle of the night if the house is on fire than if he remembers he did not brush his teeth.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
There's some things that's just, it's a choice. It's always a choice. But in the morning, I can't get up and put the fire out. In the morning, I can get up and brush my teeth. But I know that if that fire starts and the alarms are going off, I'll get to it later. Guess what? You're not going to get to it later. You're going to do it now. That's the motivation. There's a degrees of motivations in our lives. What do we choose? What is the degree? When does it get to the point in our life where that motivation to pay that bill before they shut off your power, are you motivated? You know, when does the degree of motivation become greater than anything else you've got going on? Lack of motivation is the main reason people do not change. They do not have significant desire to change. Often they are too concerned with the things of this life. Until you get your motivation right, little else will help you. But when you are determined, that is an important purpose in your life, then you will find the means to make the necessary changes. It's just like, one of the things I've found with spiritual gifts, a lot of them have a shelf life. Mm-hmm. If you don't exercise them, God tries to find something else to fit you. But pretty soon he starts looking in the box and said, God, they won't do this one because I know they didn't do that one. I gave him this spiritual gift. I got another one that's kind of like it, but no, I better not give them that one because they don't even want to do that one. It's a great gift for them. They fit it perfectly. They got a shirt that's color and everything fits great, but they never wear it. Why?
No motivation.
No motivation, exactly right. Some people convince themselves, I cannot change. It's too late. Besides, I'm only human. Or they like the rewards they're getting right now and are not willing to change for something better. That's probably the biggest thing I've seen more than anything. They like the rewards they're getting right now and refuse to change for something better. But you will continue to complain about what you want. Right? How many does that? I know I've done it. I know what the rewards are, and I'm not willing to step across and take that chance because I may have to give up something I really know. But I'll sit and bitch about it. And anybody that comes around me, I'll let them know all about it. How many people you know of? It doesn't matter. I've seen people in this church and other churches that they're just waiting for the next person to come in so they can tell them all about what they would like to change in their life. And then you ask them, how long have you been doing this? Oh, it's been like 25 years since I've been trying to change this. And I've been talking about it for 25 years. But I'm not willing to take that chance. So what does it take to get us to take that chance? You're not just belittling yourself, you're denying yourself. When you start telling yourself, I can't do it, God gave me these spiritual gifts, how am I going to exercise them? I know a lot of my spiritual gifts. I've been blessed with many, many gifts from God. One of my greatest ones is being able to build things. And that's one talent I don't mind exercising. And there's a lot of other gifts that I haven't really exercised that much that I know that I have. But I still try to use the gifts I have to help other people and to move forward and also to help myself. I usually do better helping other people than I do helping myself is what I'm finding out. Because it's easier.
It is easier.
It is so much easier. So most achievements in life require 10% ability and 90% just plain determination and hard work. So what more do you need? What do you really need for your motivation? Any takers?
Encourager?
Something we do every day. We do it for something. Something everybody always does. A plan. You need a plan. How many here plans things in their life? They plan on when they're going to go to dinner. They plan on when they're going to eat. They plan on when they're going to work. They're planning on when they're taking care of the kids. You may do this automatically, but you still planned it. Even though it's become a habit, you've still planned it. But how hard is it to plan something else into the plan? Jody? I mean, I know. This last summer, you've been running around. You had all the kids. Somebody would have come up, asked Jody on the phone, can you do this? Jody has a hard time saying no. So she's figuring out in her mind, how am I going to achieve all this and put this extra thing on my plate that's too big to not even fit on tomorrow's plate?
Yep.
How many of us do that? So it's about taking the choice of the plan. Don't be afraid to alter the plans you already have to gain a better plan.
Don't be afraid to say no.
We're going to go back to the, the first scripture I had here. In Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So, how do we make the plans? Think about the things you plan right now. Worthwhile activities to be successful needs planning. Likewise, to change your life, you need a specific, practical checklist of steps you through to take the changes you need. Analyzing the circumstances or causes that lead you to fail to do right. To plan how to avoid these causes, it may help you to write down your plan and modify it as needed. There's people I know, they get a plan and it's like, but this is the way I planned it. They can't deviate from the plan. One of the things I've learned is in my profession is I train a lot of people. And I move from job to job and I'll be training a new apprentice. And they'll go, well, that's not the way you did it at the last job. And my answer to them is, so? I learned on the last job, maybe if I do this a little different, I might be more efficient. Maybe if I do this a little different, it might be easier on me. I might find out it wasn't easier on me, and I'll go back doing the other way. But don't be afraid to experiment. Amen. How are you going to change if you're not afraid to change? The easiest way to change is to change. Quit fearing it. Quit finding an excuse. Don't let your butt get in the way, right? It's always butt, and some of us have some big butts. Many people fail to change to please God because they never planned to succeed. They did not plan to fail, but they did not plan to succeed. You can have a plan, but if you don't have a goal at the end of the plan, I'm going to pick on Lee for a minute. You had a plan to go to college. I remember when you started. What was your goal? To get a degree. Did you know where it was going to take you? Sort of. But not really, right? Did that plan get altered? But was it successful? That's my point. Don't be afraid to alter the plan to make success. Nothing's a definite. Nothing is a definite. Just like each and every one of us have an expiration date stamped on our butts, if you didn't know. And we don't know what it is because it's an invisible ink. And it only appears on the date you expire. There are several steps to prepare you to change and grow, but none of them can be substituted for hard work and a dedicated effort. All the good attitude in the world will not get the job done until you follow through with action. There's a hard one. I've got to have action too. Action with a plan. Can't I just have somebody else do the action?
No.
It'd be much easier. Let's delegate. And that's part of it. Exactly. Okay. You have some of the strongest possible motives to change. Consider some. What are your strongest motives you may have? How about people you admire? How many times do you look at what somebody else is doing in their life and you think, God, I wish I could do that in my life. My question is, why can't you? Why can't you? Unless you're not motivated.
You want somebody else to do it for you.
Hey, that's Hey, that's where I'm at most of the time. But my damn dogs have not been trained to do all that stuff yet. The desire to be more like someone you admire is a powerful motivation. So, I guess the biggest question is, what motivates you? What motivates you in your life? What motivates you to do the things you do? If you used to go home and make a list of what motivates you to do the things you live on, what would be the top thing on the list? Huh?
Love.
I think there's another one that might be the top thing on the list that motivates us.
Discomfort.
How about want? I'm motivated beyond my own want. Motivation and rewards. Okay, everything we do in life has a reward. There's nothing that anybody does in life that doesn't have a reward. And there's nobody on this planet, I don't think, has ever been on this planet that doesn't do things for the rewards. And I've had people say, well, Mother Teresa. I go, mm-mm. Think about Mother Teresa. She did it for the rewards. Look at the rewards she got every time she went in an orphanage and she got to hold a baby. What a reward. What a reward of praying over somebody that's asking for help. Going into countries, look at the rewards she got. She got the rewards of God's love. She got the rewards of people's love. What a motivation. How much more motivation can you have to do what you're doing than love itself? Love is a motivator, but you've got to want it. If you don't want it, you don't have the motivation for it. I know with my kids, they motivate me to do things. Why? When they ask me, do you love me, Daddy? I have to say, give me a minute. And then they get mad at me. I know, but my kids are learning. But they do know that I love them. And like Jody and all of us that are our extended, unique family that God has made, those kids motivate us in different ways that we would probably never been motivated in our lives to do. And if anybody of you that have kids, been around kids, respond to children in any way, shape, or form, you find that they have a way of motivating us. Especially when they're crying and you want to put them back in the box. It doesn't go over well when you tell the lady behind you at the plane to do that. They don't see the humor in it. I actually did that. I was on my way back from Houston, and this lady behind me, and I was in a good mood, and this baby's just screaming. I said, lady, can you please put it back in the box and play with it later? And she got mad. I don't know why. You know?
She didn't have a black eye.
I know. I mean, you know, what's on your mind is soon to be on your lips if you're not careful. So what motivates you? Okay, this all comes down to what did Janet speak about? What was her last sermon about? Authority, walking in the authority. It's one thing I've learned about walking in the authority. I learned that a long time ago, walking in a God's authority for life itself. If you look it up, you know, and I looked up a lot of things that said in the Bible about walking in the authority and what it has to say, and it all comes down to, like, okay, for instance, as a Christians, we have been given the authority of Jesus, yet so many walk without this authority. The Christians have been given the authority of Jesus so that Satan will never be able to intimidate them. That's pretty powerful. So we can walk in authority. But how do we exercise that?
Praise word, believe his word.
We can pray and also do it. Authority is something you believe in. It's something in confidence. One of the shows I like is called Street Outlaws. and it's on the Discover Channel. When I first seen that thing that said Street Outlaws, I didn't see any of the advertisement or anything. I thought, God, who would want to watch something? Oh, Street Outlaws, that's the last thing I need is another cop show or anything like that. Until one day I'm going through the channels, and I come up to this racing. These cars racing, come to find out, that's what it was about, street racing. And it's true. There's a group down in Oklahoma, and that's what they do. And I look at these guys, and there's the top 10 racers down there. And there's this kid that's got this Vega, and there's this kid that's got this dragster practically, and they're out there going to race. And talk about walking in authority and believing in yourself. There's this little guy at the Vega up against the guy at the big dragster saying, I'm going to beat you. And I've got $500 here to say that I'm going to beat you. That's how much authority and confidence I have and what I have with me. The guy's won a few times. But that's what I mean. It's walking in that authority. Believing in yourself. Believing in yourself. We've learned about walking in authority. Word about spiritual gifts. Now, JFK, how many here know who JFK is? John F. Kennedy. There's a statement that he made in one of his speeches. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And I've always remembered that as from a child. And one of the things, I'm going to change that around a little bit. Okay, you just come back from Synergy. This is how many Synergy, this, what is number of Synergy is? Huh? How many times have we done Synergy, Pastor? This was the ninth time? Okay. So a lot of things I hear when we get back from Synergy is, now what are you going to do? Now what's the church going to do? What are you going to do, Pastor D? What are you going to do? You're going to drop the ball? What are you going to do? I'm going to turn this whole saying around. Ask not what the church can do for you, but what you can do for yourself. What are you going to do with everything you learned at Synergy? What are you going to do with your spiritual gifts? Pastor D, nobody here is going to be able to help you with your spiritual gifts unless you decide to exercise them.
Amen.
You have to decide to exercise. You have to decide if you're going to walk in the authority. And that's just learning how to walk in authority in life. When you walk in a room, if you walk in with confidence, that's walking in with authority.
Yes, it is. Amen.
And I've learned that a lot with business meetings. If I walk in, it doesn't matter if I know the people or not. If I walk in confident and walk in authority, I get respect. And they're going to listen to me. And that's what you need to do. Decide how you're going to put this in your life. How many here like the spiritual gifts they found out they had? Anybody? Only three? Nobody else like their spiritual gifts? Not if I got to use them. You mean I got to exercise them too? I don't know if I like that. That exercise, that sounds like work. That's like going to the gym. Isn't that like going to the gym? I got to exercise them. Someone said, I'd rather go to the gym than exercise my authority and the gifts I've been given. You make a very valid point about spiritual gifts, opening yourself up to God.
Yes.
Are you willing to open that door?
Yes.
Are you really willing to open that door? How many times have you know that the Holy Spirit has directed you into a direction to go, and you say, no, I got a better idea?
Learn.
I still have make that mistake. But it is opening the door to God. And trust and authority. What do you believe in? I believe if I go over and yell at Kay, she might get mad at me. I believe that. If I really yell at Kay, she might get mad at me. I believe that.
I know that.
It's what we believe in. I believe that if I go yell at my boss in the right tone, I may not be working there no more. You know, so what do you believe in? Do you believe in the Word? Do you believe in the gifts that you've given? And another thing I want to emphasize on what Kay had to say there is don't be afraid of the fear of what you have, because when you look at your spiritual gift on paper, if it's the gift of teaching or the gift of prayer or whatever that gift is, and somebody else sounds like they have that same gift, guess what? Their application is going to be probably different than your application.
Yeah.
God has a tendency to tailor fit us with the gifts he gives us.
Amen.
And not always is it the same. It's just like my gift of mechanics. But when I get with other guys in my trade that have the same gift, we get to build on them together. Because what he knows and what I know can be two different things. And we learn from each other. And we learn to better ourselves because it's different. How this person learned and how I learned is totally two different things because we learn from different people.
That's the way you work together, logistically working together.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it comes down here to motivation. I said up here earlier, somebody you admire. There might be somebody you admire their gifts. Maybe you don't really care for them, but you admire their gifts. Does that mean you can go talk to them? Absolutely. I'm all about going and talking to somebody and learning from them. I don't care how far apart we are in anything else in life. If somebody has something I want to learn, I don't have a problem talking to them.
Amen.
Because that's one of my motivations, is to make myself one step better. For myself. Not better than somebody else, but better for myself. This is about you and yourself. Spiritual gifts are about you and yourself. Walking in the authority is about you and yourself. It's not the church. It's yourself. The church is here as a tool. That's one of the things we've preached in this church and that's drawn quite a few of us here. It's about your spiritual walk with God, your relationship with God, not your relationship with the church. The relationship with the church is just, that's just the gravy. That could be the dessert, but the meat and potatoes are going to come from God and the relationship you have with him. So that's my challenge to everyone, is to walk in the authority, put a plan together, clean out the closet. If the pants don't fit, get rid of them. Give them to somebody that does. Somebody else can use them.
Be a blessing.
If you think you got a gift that you don't know what to do with it, maybe it don't fit. Maybe God didn't give you that gift and you just think you have it. You know? So you got to think about that. So let's take it to the Lord. Dear God, as we come before you today, we want to thank you for the many, many gifts that you've given us and the opportunities in life you've given us. And I ask you to bless us with the ability to plan, the ability to exercise our gifts, the ability to exercise an authority that you've given us through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of guidance, our conscience, Lord. The many gifts you've given us, I ask you to guide us down that path. For some of us, you may have to drag us, and that's okay too. Lord, I just thank you so much for all the things you've given us, and I say this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.